Shalom, Chaverim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWRadio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word. And we are really glad you decided to join us tonight, as we're going to begin a new series on the book of Jude. Only one chapter, but a lot of meat to chew on. So be sure your Bible is out and be ready to take some notes, because you might want to share these truths with a friend. And first, as always, we'd like to ask God to be with us tonight and to bestow his wisdom on his servants as we serve him tonight by teaching from his word. And we just, Father, we just lift up to you today all those prayer requests that came in. And we thank you first. We should thank you for what you've done for us, for all the answered prayers that have been happening lately. And I mean, not that they weren't happening before, Lord, but you just seem to be so faithful, and we know that you are faithful. And we're not, but you are. So all the folks that write in with their prayer requests, and especially those for unsaved family members, Lord, we just ask that you draw these family members with your Holy Spirit. And only you can do that, Father. And we want to bless people too tonight, and I'd like to bless a new baby. It's a grandbaby born last Friday, and she's a sweetie, and all new babies as well, and those that are forming right now in their mother's womb. And we lift up the parents of these new babies to you, because they need a lot of wisdom and a lot of rest at this time. And we thank you for all the births that we had that were that went well, and everybody survived, and we just thank you for that. Lord, we just want to lift up to you also these three young kidnapped women that were just found and rescued, and just help them, keep them from suffering from the awful psychological effects they must be suffering at this time. Of course, we want to thank you as well for the numerous provisions that you provide for us, you know, that finance our program and all these programs, actually. And, of course, we pray, too, that we may know your purpose for us as individuals and have the strength your word provides to achieve it. And that's to you come. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. And shalom to you, John, and all our listeners tonight. May God's grace and peace abound in your life. And may this broadcast increase your desire to get even closer with your Savior. We are all going to need to be very close to Yeshua these final months before his return, when he calls us up forever to be with him. I always like teaching verse by verse, by the way, John, and many of you out there have expressed your joy as well, because not too many are doing that anymore.
Nope.
So we will have fun this month, and even though it's only 26 verses, it will more than likely take us all month to finish it, because it's lots of goodies for everyone.
Yes. Did you say final month before
no,
his return?
No, not months.
Final month.
Months.
Before his return. Okay.
Now, I used to say years, and now I'm saying months.
Okay.
It's my prerogative.
Oh. Okay. Well, okay. You got that. Well, our regular listeners, we want to thank you tonight, as well as those that have joined us new. But I want to say hi to Dale, to Don, to Bonnie, Chrissy, and Matt, regular listeners to our program. Thank you for listening, and you're getting as much out of it as we are, I hope. I want to remind you the phone lines are open. Should you have an end time question, that number is 888-677-WORD. All missed programs are archived on shofarministries.net. If you have a question but you don't want to be on the air, well, just call in and give it to our producer, Derek, and he'll give it right to us, right? Hey, but first, before we get started tonight, is there any news that you have, especially on Israel? I hear that shofar.
I do. Yes, there's definitely news on Israel. As you know, that there's been some strikes on Syria. They actually targeted a shipment of Iranian-made, mobile, and very accurate, solid-fueled missiles that has a range to strike Tel Aviv and much of Israel from southern Lebanon. Now, the reason I said solid fuel is because that's a huge improvement over the passé liquid-fueled Scud missiles that they used to have.
Hmm.
So it's has a bigger range. And this shipment also included Scud-D missiles that Syrians have developed, actually with Russian help, of course.
Hmm.
And that has a range of like 422 miles.
That could reach the bottom of the country, right?
Yeah, southernmost.
Mm-hmm.
Even when fired from, well, Lebanon, I guess, would be a good place. Anyway,
yeah.
Which is why they had to be stopped before they reached Hezbollah, who was waiting for them in Lebanon. They also hit a chemical weapons plant, but even worse for them is that they struck some of Syria's elite troops, and that might have been a few of the Iran troops that Iran sent
mm-hmm.
over there as well, on Mount Qasim, which overlooks Damascus. And they did cause some heavy casualties, I understand. I don't have a number on that, but here's I told you that because I want to explain that this is the part that's really very interesting. You know, most of the mainstream media is saying that Israel just couldn't wait any longer for the United States to make a move, so decided to go it alone. Well, first of all, Bibi does nothing, I have learned, without Obama's approval these days. I believe Obama, and of course Saudi Arabia, encouraged Israel to do this so that Barack Obama would not have to answer to Russia and instead let Israel take the heat.
Why?
And here's why. I found out that Obama had asked Putin, now he's of Russia, of course, last month if they would partner with us in an effort to terminate the Syrian conflict. He didn't give his answer right away, but then on April 27th...
And this is before Israel embarked on their action
right,
against
April
Syria?
27th.
Okay.
The Russian deputy actually forged a new Russian alliance with Hezbollah.
Hmm.
So here we've got Obama asking them to help us, and instead they're helping Hezbollah even more so.
Wow.
So basically, this was Putin's answer to Obama's direct appeal. So now that made Obama furious. And so he gave Israel the green light to go for the Iranian and Hezbollah targets and troops in Syria, and of course they did. Now, the thing about it is, just today I read where Russia has responded with threats to the United States because he knows that the United States and Israel work together.
Mm-hmm.
And he responded with threats, and he said it better not happen again. And he even told Bibi in China, because Bibi had went to China yesterday, I guess, and met and saw Putin there and told him the same thing.
Well, they can hammer that out at Armageddon.
Well, the thing about it is Russia is threatening the United States.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, they're not that far from Alaska.
That's right. You said they were doing something up near Alaska.
Yes.
And that would be the...
The planes have been not in our airspace yet, but very close.
Very close. Okay. So, okay. That's... Wow. And how about that claim by a senior U.S. intelligence official that Israel really did not tell Washington they were going to do this, the Syrian operation?
Yeah. It just
that doesn't hold water,
no,
does it?
No, I really don't believe so.
Hmm.
Right now, I know Israel could have justifiably done something, you know, like try to get the arms and stuff, but they would have never stuck its neck out to strike the elite troops.
Hmm.
Because they did kill quite a few, I understand. Again, I don't know how many.
Wow.
But that's something they wouldn't do without clearing it with Obama. No way.
Wow. Well, I'm sure that a lot of those troops were Iranian troops.
I think they might have been, because they did send 7,000 more.
Yeah. And I think that would be enough worry to...
Yeah. I also, John, wonder if it was really Assad who used that small amount of sarin gas they found to the chemicals in the ground. Remember they said that he's using chemical weapons?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it was really Assad who did that or actually the rebels, who I remember a month or two ago, it was reported that some were stolen.
That's right. I remember that.
And so they could blame it on Assad.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that again, nothing is as it seems in the papers. You know, you have to really dig deep and
mm-hmm.
find some foreign news
right.
to get some better.
Yeah, you got to have a lot of sources these days.
Yeah, you do. And some of them you have to pay for.
Yeah. And some of them you'll be paying taxes on, I hear.
Yeah. Oh, my.
We won't go there.
No, okay.
Okay.
But again, remember these rebels
mm-hmm.
are working with the Sunni Muslim Brotherhood. And I understand even some of Al-Qaeda has been helping. And, of course, we know Al-Qaeda was partly to blame in Libya with the Benghazi thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also Saudi Arabia. They want they don't like the Shias either. Mm-hmm. So they're giving money. But the Muslim Brotherhood, again, which we are backing accordingly, Obama, really want the Shiites to fall. And that would be Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
This is a civil war between Sunnis and Shias. And like mm-hmm. I said a minute ago, Iran keeps sending troops over to help Assad do that.
And you said like 7,000. Well, here, Sunnis and Shias, they're destroying each other. But one thing they do agree on, and that is they both believe that the United States and Israel should be destroyed.
Oh, yeah. And so whoever ends up winning this, they're just going to come after Israel then anyway.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
Right. Totally.
So why are we helping them?
Exactly.
Because Obama likes Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, that's right. We shouldn't even be giving any money out there.
Let them fight their own battles.
Why are we having a sequester? Why not just stop giving money to the Muslim Brotherhood? Huh?
I know.
Oh, that makes too much sense.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, God is still in control, and Psalm 83 still has to be fulfilled before the rapture. Now, Sheila, what about Damascus being ruined, as it says in Isaiah 17 prophecy?
Well, in my opinion, I think Damascus will be messed up a bit. If that's the correct wording. But not totally destroyed till the tribulation. And that's according to what I read in Jeremiah 49, verses 24 through 27, because mm-hmm. he uses tribulation terminology, like the labor pains.
I see.
And in that day.
Okay.
So that tells me it is after the rapture. And I mean, it's plain to me.
Well, the rapture must be very close because it's well on its way to being, you know.
Well, that's true.
Being a ruin, as
that's
it
true.
Says. What about Benghazi?
Yes. Tomorrow, I guess they're supposed to have some witnesses talk about what really happened over there. They're actually called whistleblowers. I guess there's about three of them. And I don't know. There are some people saying that this could be like a Watergate thing.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
No, I'm hoping that more people will get involved and really care about that.
I know.
It's a very sad thing that
happened. It is a very sad thing.
Yeah. What do you think about a break now? No? Okay.
No, I think we should get right into Jude.
I think so, too.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Amen. All right. Time for Jude.
All righty.
All right. Let's remind the people that the lines are open if you should have any questions.
That's right. Those old
phone
lines are open. 888, that's 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Remember, you can just give your question to our producer, Derek, and he'll pass it along to us, and we'll answer over the air.
And love to do so.
Yes. The being on the radio, you don't want to. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
It makes people kind of nervous, you know.
All right. Well, let me give you a little background, and then I'm going to have you actually read the first four verses.
I can do that.
But Jude was written about 80 A.D., and I actually call it the vestibule for the book of Revelation. He's the Lord's half-brother, John.
Okay.
Anyway, do you know who his other brothers are?
I used to. No, I knew you'd ask me that. Let me think. Okay, James, right?
Well, yeah.
James or Jacob.
Actually, verse 1, I think, says that.
Yeah, James. Simon. And then there's Josie, or I think.
I don't know how to pronounce it. Josie.
I don't know. We would
Maybe
say
it's French. No,
we think it's Josie or Yosel. And it might be even a female name there. I don't know.
Okay.
Is that
and actually,
it?
You can find that out in Mark 6, verse 3. Yes, you were right.
Yeah, it's a very timely message, really, for our generation. And that we are in the last generation, I think. And it, unfortunately, it's been a neglected book, hasn't it?
It really has, yeah. Probably one of the reasons it's neglected is because you really have to do your homework.
Yeah.
You've got to do some research and go back into the Old Testament, and which we're going to do.
That's good. And you know what? It's not going to be easy because it's hard to find detailed commentaries on this book as well.
It's true.
Nobody wants to get into it. But I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of Bible study, it doesn't. The New Testament, we were just talking about this, doesn't read like the story of Noah and the ark
and
everything like that. You really, really have to dig deep and get and really know your stuff.
Yeah. We're going to do a little of that today, too.
That's good.
We're going to do a lot of this stuff this month.
I like that when we do that.
And it is pertinent that we discuss important topics that affect all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see apostasy at its finest today.
Now, what is apostasy again?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
But 2 Peter addresses the topic. Also, in fact, he anticipates and warns of these false teachers. But Jude deals with their arrival. So they complement each other, where one anticipates them coming, and Jude talks about them already being here.
Oh, cool.
So we are going to visit the beginning of time, some past judgments on Israel, and some strange beings. We're going to travel to the unseen world of some bizarre happenings. Lots of different kinds of angels. And what is amazing to me is the nonchalantness of Jude about these really heavy areas.
Well, yeah, he talks about it matter-of-factly. Like it's like the everybody knows this.
Yeah,
right?
I know. Now, I think it was to him, okay, at that point, you know. And you notice that when you read Genesis 6 about the fallen angels, Moses talks about it very nonchalantly, too. He doesn't give any details, just happens to mention it like we're supposed to know.
Hmm. Well, it's about time we knew it,
well,
then,
we're
right?
Going to know
yeah.
this month.
Good. It's about time. Well, it's been long overdue. And then apostasy is what, falling away, is it?
Apostasy is actually denying Christ.
Oh, denying Christ.
Yes.
Okay. I knew it was important.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course, false teaching would just be like believing we're going to be here through the tribulation. That's a type of heresy.
I think that is a heresy.
Me.
Yeah. Explain that to my cousin, would you? So toughy.
Yeah. But anyway, again, you've got to remember out there, Acts 17:11 is your prerequisite. Search out what I tell you, okay? We only really want to stir you up so that you'll do your own homework and enjoy doing it, you know? And how do you start? Well, you got to have a little bit of nudging from me, and that's what I'm going to do. But that's how you grow in Him, is studying the Word of God.
So what are we?
I would like to say that we're kind of like the fertilizer for their sanctification. Don't you think?
Oh, well, that's one way you could put it. I see, you know.
Well, thank you. But you might also notice that Jude's brother, who is James, also wrote an epistle. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of complimenting Jude in the fact that James says good works is an evidence of your faith. And Jude infers that bad works is an evidence that you're not saved.
Well, see, there you go, the balance. They're in the same family.
Yes,
and all,
same family.
All families need balance.
That's right. But it's no secret. We really are judged by our fruits, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Yep.
Now, you're going to read this in a minute, but you're going to notice that Jude starts out by giving assurance to the Christian. He starts out his letter, but, you know, and you'll see, don't worry, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But what's also interesting is that at the end of the letter, he does the same thing.
Oh, he assures again?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because the middle is going to be something where, you know, it could be a little fearful if you're not where you need to be.
Well, it is. I agree with that. And, of course, when we finish the letter, you'll know why he does
exactly.
that. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so, John, I brought actually a copy of the Interlinear tonight.
No, you did.
I did, yeah. And the first four verses, I was wondering if you could actually read it out of the Textus Receptus, which is our closest to the oldest manuscript that we have in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to read it in the English, of course.
Well, I was going to read it in the Greek, but I decided at the last minute I shouldn't.
Now, if you have an interlinear, you will notice that there is an English translation column on the left.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, there's a little bit of difference. But it's just too difficult to read it right from underneath the Greek, because sometimes the verbs are before the nouns, so it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, well, that's true in Hebrew, too, is that the verb comes first a lot of times, and then the...
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So we'll just read it this way, and then we'll expound on the rest.
Okay, we'll start Jude, verse 1. Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to the ones called in God the Father, having been set apart and having been kept to Jesus Christ. Mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Having made all diligence to write to you about the common salvation, beloved, I had need to write to you to exhort you to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. For certain men crept in secretly, those having been of old marked out to this condemnation, ungodly ones, perverting the grace of God for unbridled lust and denying the only master, God, even our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, again, the first verse, Jude, a bondservant, is what my New King James says.
A servant, yeah, a servant. Or a slave, that means slave too, doesn't it?
And it does. The word is doulos, mm-hmm. and it means wanting to be a slave to someone even after the 7 years was up and you could be free.
Ah.
If you decided to stay, you would put your ear up to the wall, and they would hammer an awl
mm-hmm.
in the middle, make a big hole.
Yeah, that's right.
And it would just say that you decided that you want to stay and serve your master because you treated you well, you got along well, and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Well, that's what this word means. We are bond servants to Jesus Christ because we want to be his servant.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I did that song, you know, I Want to Be Your Servant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's right,
Friday.
We do, don't
yeah.
we?
Mm-hmm.
And what a blessing we get from being it.
Yeah.
Wow. He also says that he was the brother of James. And I think that's interesting because he could have said the brother of Jesus. Now, they were half brothers. Mm-hmm. But I think Jude wanted to stay kind of humble,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so he said
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. And then he goes on to say to those who are called, and first of all, we are called and we answer the call.
Mm-hmm.
I believe everybody at some point in time have the opportunity to answer the call. And there's a scripture, by the way, that tells us this, and I think I included it in tonight's study somewhere, but I don't want to jump ahead.
Okay.
But I believe that's true, because otherwise it wouldn't be fair. God is fair.
That's right.
Everyone will know somehow, even if it means he's got to give them a vision of himself or whatever they, you know, he does, mm-hmm. and he's been doing it to Muslims, by the way. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's been appearing in visions to them.
That's right. Amen.
That's a merciful God, because
he
knows that they're not going to get any information, the right information on him growing up in a Muslim family.
I know. So praise the Lord.
Praise God for that.
Also, I wanted to note that Jude and James were not part of the 12 apostles. But anyway, first we answer the call. And that makes us justified.
Mm-hmm.
That means if we die that moment, we're going to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Amen and hallelujah. We're justified. But then we proceed to get sanctified. And that's what he's saying. So first you're called, then you're sanctified or set apart
mm-hmm.
by God, which is that process of sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are kept or preserved. The word is teriel,
mm-hmm.
and it means guarded over even.
Wow.
Yeah, so
we are a kept people.
Yes, we are. But again, it's that process of sanctification. And you know how some people say, well, once saved, always saved?
Yeah.
I say, once sanctified, always sanctified.
Because
first we're called,
mm-hmm.
then that process of sanctification begins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our spirit permeates through our soul and eventually to our flesh, which is the hardest. That's
mm-hmm.
the last part.
Right.
And that also matches the armor of God,
mm-hmm.
okay? And when we're at that point, we're locked in. We are locked in. There's no way he will watch over us, guard us, and I do not believe that we would walk away after that.
Right.
Okay?
Right. Now, you're going to say Philippians 2:12, right?
Yes, because Paul says to work out your own soteria, which means once you're saved, you work it out, that process of sanctification. That's up to you. You get saved.
Mm-hmm.
God saves you. But then that process is up to you to work it out. And how do you do that, John?
Well, see, that's great, because I always read that verse and I said, well, work it out. It says, oh, we're supposed to figure it out our own way.
Oh, no.
You know, and that's, of course, very the wrong understanding, of course. But this is not like work out as in work from the inside out. In
yep.
other words, the very middle of you is your spirit.
Your spirit.
Where you're saved. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that spirit to grow into the soul.
That's right.
And
which is your mind, your will, and emotions.
And when your mind, will, and emotions are in line with the spirit, then your flesh, your body, mm-hmm. is going to do God's will as well.
Right. But your flesh is last. It's always the hardest thing.
Yeah. No kidding.
And if you're out there and you're not totally sanctified, then you're probably dealing with a lot of fleshy
things. Issues, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it's important. And the only way you can get sanctified according to the Word, which I believe is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Why don't you read that?
Okay. I just had it right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely.
Completely.
And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. And sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth, John 17:17.
And if you know, if you want listeners, if you want to go back and check out our show, we had a show on sanctification. It was January 22nd.
Oh yes.
Two shows actually. January 22nd, 29th of last year, 2012. We went into detail on this.
Yes.
And you can go to our radio podcast archives at shofarministries.net. Find it for yourself.
I'm so glad you said that because that's important. If you don't know, that's for every new believer to understand that concept.
It is a good concept to understand.
If you just get saved and never being in your word and just go to church, you're not going to get totally sanctified. You're going to fight with sin a lot.
A lot.
It's going to be a battle.
And what's even worse is you'll be fighting these big battles with sin, and then they're going to ask you to teach it or do a youth group or something.
Yeah.
You're in trouble.
You're not ready.
You're not ready.
Okay. We do have to take a little break.
Okay.
I think now is a good time.
Now's a good time?
What Before we get into verse 2.
How about a song?
Great idea, John. Which one did you want to play?
Well, I want to do something by Tareva Henderson.
Oh, yeah. She's great.
Yeah. And I think it's Our Spirits Will Rise, or We Will Rise.
We Will Rise. I think that's the name of it. Yeah,
okay.
That's a good one. All right. All we'll be right back. Don't turn that dial.
We shall rise. We shall rise.
We shall rise.
Thank you.
There we go. We Shall Rise. That was Tareva Henderson. And the backing band was the Allman Brothers. No, it wasn't. But they could be. They were that good. Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour.
That just moved me.
Yeah, I know. And when the saxophone part came on, you were dancing.
So I know. You're not supposed to tell them that.
Okay. Well, this is the Shofar Ministries Hour, and thanks for rejoining us, and I hope you liked that song as much as we did. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or church group? You can email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the old office at 440-834-9006. And an important reminder, your donations are still tax deductible at this point, at least this year, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or just use PayPal on the website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter, so include your address, either email or house address.
I just want you to know, too, that I am so appreciative of all your donations, even the little tiny ones.
I know. They all count.
So God's sweet. Mm-hmm. So precious. Also, email is, of course, easy for me to do your newsletter because then you can print it out on your own copy. And then you can share it with others or just forward it to someone you care about. We're so blessed to live in this technological age that we can get the word out so quickly. But I encourage you to share the information, especially the many gold nuggets that I try to make sure that goes into each newsletter. Good teachings, and they're also all archived on shofarministries.net.
Yeah, and be sure to check that out, because all our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived there, and you can order DVDs as well. And one more thing, the lines are open. The numbers for your messianic eschatological question would be 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend this program to a friend? Also, every Friday, we're at Chester Christian Center.
No, not every Friday.
Not every Friday. Every month, I meant to say. The first Friday of every month,
right,
we're at Chester Christian Center. Come out and join us at 7 o'clock.
That's right. That's right. And also, a week from Thursday, I'll be out and mentor at Lakeshore Assembly of God as well.
Lakeshore Assembly, okay.
Okay. All right.
They out there.
Oh, I like them too. I like everybody, actually. You have me out to your church, and I will like you also.
Oh.
I will. Love to meet new people. All right, we're going to get into verse 2. We already covered verse 1.
That's right.
Talked about how Jude was a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and then he talked about how we had to be called, sanctified, and then we are preserved and kept by Jesus Christ. And then verse 2, Jude says, he gives an official greeting. He says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you.
Hmm.
So this is, again, his formal greeting, and he begins with mercy. Now, actually, it's pretty fitting for the context of his letter.
Because,
you know, Paul, he usually begins with grace.
Yeah, grace and peace to you, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you like to define the difference now that you said that?
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Grace is getting something you don't deserve.
That's right.
But mercy is not getting what you do
deserve.
Yeah.
Amen. It's kind of a compassionate leniency. Oh, one more thing about that greeting. You never put peace before grace or mercy.
And that's because without grace or mercy, you cannot really have any real peace.
No. Peace doesn't come before.
No, it doesn't.
Amen.
Amen.
So, and also now we have the word here for love is actually the best kind in the Greek, and it's called agape love. It's kind the same kind of love that God has for us and we're supposed to have for each other. I'll bet you don't know the other three Greek words for love. Do you remember? We learned them a while ago.
Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot them. No, I think I can remember them. I know agape is at the top. That's the highest form of love,
right,
in this Greek language. Oh, philia?
Philia.
Philia. Okay, and that's like brotherly love or close friendship.
Okay.
I remember, eros. Now that's erotic or lustful.
That's the lustful one, yeah. Eros and for erotic.
Kind I keep thinking there's one more.
There is.
Yeah, which one is that?
It's Stargate.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that's actually a family love of acceptance, you know, between brother and sister. Did you ever hear the expression, "Well, I gotta love him, he's my family"?
Yeah.
That's Stargate. But he's saying here that love is our like our identity badge. And John 13 talks about how we are to love one another. And that's agape. That's the highest form of love. That's God's love. Spiritual love.
1 Corinthians chapter 13 tell you about that.
Yes.
Okay, let's get to verse 3.
Yeah, moving right along.
Moving right along.
Okay, Jude begins to tell you that he was about to write about salvation, a salvation message. But he was compelled to change it. And he had to change it to show you the importance of contending earnestly for their faith.
Mm.
That's pretty amazing, too, because he's actually pleading with them to earnestly contend for the faith.
Well, it looks like he started writing and the Holy Spirit changes Jude's mind.
That's right. I like to call it divine compulsion.
Because
actually, I feel that some way, sometimes also I feel that.
Divine compulsion.
To do something in particular.
Like when we went to Mystery Babylon in the Catholic Church and we were going to go elsewhere.
Yes,
but
I did not want to do that necessarily in my flesh.
But you felt a very...
Yes, and then it was
compulsion.
Amazing because 2 months after I started that, we started in January, and by the end of February, we found out the Pope was
resigning.
Pope turns
in his resignation, yeah.
Yeah, so it all just worked out, and again, I felt that compulsion. But but anyway, who is Jude writing to?
Well, according to what I read, it's the Beloved.
Yes, and the Beloved is actually the word agapetos, and it's number 27, and it means believers. Okay, believers in the Lord. So, in other words, those totally given over to bond servants.
So definitely talking about saved people here. Definitely not unbelievers, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. I don't think unbelievers would really understand this or care. Okay, so now we've established the theme, which is what, John?
Content for the faith.
Okay, that's the theme of his letter.
Mm-hmm.
And you might even have to actually strain a little, saints. Stop ignoring the error that you hear, and instead, in love, speak out.
Hmm.
And, of course, we're going to see Jude get specific when we get to verse 4. But let me ask you, John, do you remember what we said in the beginning of tonight? Is there a difference between a false teacher and an apostate?
Yes.
And we said yes. In fact, you want to remind the people what it was?
Okay, it is a false teacher teaches error, like, here's a good one, like there's no rapture.
Yes.
Or the,
that's a huge one, actually.
That's a huge one. Or the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't for today.
Yeah, that's another one.
Okay, that kind of stuff, but doesn't really deny that Jesus is God or was born of a virgin or the Trinity, the fundamentals of our faith. But
correct.
But an apostate, as we'll see in the next verse, well, I'm not sure... Jesus is actually God, but rather created to be called the Son of God.
Yeah, that's what they would say.
Yeah, yeah. And there are other ways to heaven.
That's another thing that we hear a lot of.
That's another thing we hear. But through Jesus is the best and easiest way. Like, he's one of the ways.
Yeah.
Now, that is an apostate.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious. You have to know that Jesus is the only way.
Yeah.
Or you're not even saved. You're an apostate. And I've heard that.
So if you're not saved, what are you doing in a church? You'd be better off getting out of it or getting saved.
But, you know, that is sometimes, we're going to talk about that, how the enemy has infiltrated people. It's sort of like what Paul calls wolves in sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever hear that expression?
Yes, I sure have.
We're definitely going to be talking about that because this is big in these days.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, a false teacher is still going to heaven. He's just not teaching correctly.
But an apostate is...
Is not.
Is not. Okay.
Correct.
So how do you go about contending then? What is this contending for the faith?
Well, I wanted to say one more thing on the other.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes apostates will also use the claim of receiving additional revelation outside the Bible. They will. You know, like sometimes even having a dream or a vision or something like that. The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that.
Oh, that kind of thing. Because we use references outside the Bible.
No, I don't mean that kind. I mean, but they will say.
Yeah, well, God told me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
This is a revelation.
A revelation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there are some bad translations out there, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So. Wow. Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you added that. But anyway.
Getting back to your question about contending for the faith.
What does that actually mean?
Well, actually, when you hear error, and a lot of times we as Christians, we hear it and we just don't say anything. But we need to start speaking up, at least telling others that, well, so-and-so said this, but I disagree, and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
We need to speak up.
Hmm.
We should actually write letters to the ministry in some cases, and also support the ministries that do speak against falsehood, both prayerfully and monetarily, because then you'll be storing your treasures in heaven, which we are commanded to do. Just be equipped to contend when needed. I just had a brother in the Lord die, Dave Hunt.
Yes.
And he was a great contender for the faith. And he spoke out and people supported him for it. And that's what we need to do, to encourage him to continue. Because otherwise we'll just be complacent and tolerant. And that's what the one world religion is going to be all about.
Complacency and tolerance.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we want to be intolerant bigots.
No, we don't.
I know. Someone called me a bigot once. I go, yes!
And also, I remember you said something like, if you hide from the Jehovah's Witnesses,
oh yes,
you know, you're lacking in the equipment department.
That's right.
Or even the Mormons. If you're hiding from them, you should be able to contend.
I can remember at one point actually not answering the door when they came.
Really?
Not anymore.
No.
I actually pray for them to come.
Well, back when I was just very young in the faith, I did invite the Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. Well, they're nice people.
Oh, very. I'm telling you what,
tell
if
you
good
what.
Works could get you to heaven, they'd be there first.
But they had more answers than I did.
Yeah, but not about the real, in the most important part, who is Jesus. You see, they'll go all the way around the peripheral and bring up stuff that you haven't read in years. You know, about certain kings
or stuff
and all
you haven't
stuff.
Read, period, yeah.
But they don't hone in on the important parts of that, who is Jesus Christ. And, in fact, in their Bible, they even add A.
Was a God in the beginning.
Instead of God.
Yeah. And that's huge. But I've learned that since then.
Mm-hmm.
So, but none of them come. No, they don't come anymore.
Well, that's because of where we live now. They don't let them. It's private.
They had the Mormons came through.
They can live there, but they're not allowed to go door to door.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, okay. That's more than we wanted to say.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, faith is more than just belief that you're saved.
Right.
Faith is acting on your belief.
Okay.
So examine yourself. And, of course, 2 Corinthians 13 addresses that. And 1 Timothy 4:1 says that some will depart from the faith. That doesn't necessarily mean their belief.
Oh.
Okay?
Hmm.
You see, you can get saved and believe.
Yeah.
But your faith comes from how?
Hearing the word of God.
That's right.
And understanding it.
That's
right.
So according to Timothy, it says, in the last days, people will fall away from their faith. That means they will fall away from reading the word of God. Not necessarily that they will stop believing in him, but they won't grow anymore. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be weak, weak Christians.
Ah.
And that's what we're seeing today.
Well, yes, we are. Yes, we are.
And Romans 10:17 says that in the last days, people will not have much faith because they will slack off from studying the word.
Mm.
Right? And excuse me, Romans 10:17 says, where do we get our faith? By the word of God.
Great. Okay. Well, how about Isaiah?
Well, here's what I wanted to also talk about. We're talking about falling away from the faith.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the apostasy thing.
Remember that pamphlet I showed you last week? And this is a pamphlet from the group called Humboldt County Clergy for Choice. And there's another name here. Faith Aloud. And you can go to faithaloud.org and actually get this information. But this is Clergy for Choice for Abortion.
Mm.
And they've got a 40 days of prayer coming up, and this pamphlet has what to pray for every day.
For abortion? I mean, so people can still continue to...
These are clergymen supporting your freedom of choice to have an abortion.
Okay.
And I'll just give you a couple little ideas here. Day one, today we pray for women for whom pregnancy is not good news, that they know they have choices. This is really heresy, too.
Mm.
Day seven, today we pray for the 45 million American women who have had safe legal abortions. May they stand tall and refuse shame. One more. Day 27, today we give thanks for abortion providers around the nation whose concern for women is the driving force in their lives. This is sick.
Yeah, it is.
And this is from the clergy. I got to give you one more. Today we pray for the women who travel hundreds of miles to get an abortion. May their determination be rewarded with spiritual strength. I mean, is this incredible? This is what makes me sick.
And then
finally, the last one, day 40. Today we give thanks and celebrate that abortion is still safe and legal. We're seeing Isaiah 5 coming to fruition.
Yeah.
Where they call evil good and good evil.
Yeah.
I'm just totally shocked when I saw this. And again, if you want a copy of this, I'm not making this up. You can go to,
Faith
Aloud.
FaithAloud.org.
A-L-O-U-D? Faith Aloud, yes.
Mm-hmm. .org.
Oh, A-L-O-U-D. Thank
right.
you.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's .org.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually in cahoots with Planned Parenthood.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, I know some people in the Right to Life movement, and I have actually been in contact with them, stay in contact with them, never have known any of them to say anything to a woman, to shame a woman for having an abortion. That is just...
No, of course.
You know, and there's nobody in the Right to Life movement that wants women to feel ashamed.
Yeah.
They just want a better choice to be made.
Yes.
The real choice is life.
The life.
Yeah.
That's right.
And also, I've got to tell you, this media, that they're not reporting anything with this Dr. Gosnell.
Yes.
And where he's, you know, he delivers these babies, they're alive, and then he, you know, kills them.
Kill them if they're alive when they come
and
out.
His employees are just like, this is weird, this is wicked, get us out, we're going to blow the whistle.
Takes souvenirs. He cuts the feet off and puts them in the solution and keeps them
gosh.
In jars.
See-through
jars.
That's hideous.
I mean, he's sick. Now, this is demonic.
Mm-hmm.
This is absolutely demonic. And yet, do you see the left liberal that are pro-abortion even talking about it?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
The only one is, like, Fox News. But anyway, I do want to read real quick. We only have a few minutes left. I don't think we're going to be able to get into verse 4 yet. But I just want to remind you what Isaiah 5 says real quick, 18 through 20. It says, woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope. In other words, they're parading their sin and proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are doing, especially the homosexual thing.
Yep.
That say, let him make speed, hasten his work, that we may see it. In other words, come on, let us see God. Let us see what he can do.
Yeah, show us.
And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we can know it. I mean,
that's a taunt.
Accepting him.
That's a taunt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Woe to them that call evil good, Isaiah says, and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. If we don't see that today, I don't know what we're seeing.
That is it
in a nutshell. But finishing up now, still in verse 3, we're talking of faith. Let me add that faith is often combatant, never complacent.
Hmm.
Both offensive and defensive.
Well, as we all know, you know, and teach repeatedly, in these battles, you got to have your armor on, right? Ephesians 6 talks about that.
That's right.
Okay.
And when we come back next week, we'll get right into verse 4. And we're not going to rush, though, because I think these are important topics and things that we need to say.
Yeah. So we will do a little repeating, I guess, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, if you have a question for Sheila or you would like her to speak at your church or church group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office 440-834-9006. Remember, your donations are extremely important and vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. And you can use PayPal on our webpage or send your gift directly to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And all donations automatically put you on the monthly newsletter. Check out shofarministries.net, where all the newsletters and previous programs are archived, and Hebraic Roots teachings as well.
And please, if you're out there and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do it. Don't wait another moment.
That's right. Yevrekecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom until next week. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Those who love her shall prosper.
Not maybe. Psalm 122, 6.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford at the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.